Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you've been hearing, talks between Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and independent TDs are set to continue today amid a growing expectation that the sides will reach an agreement in time to elect Micheál Martin as Taoiseach on January 22nd. I'm joined now by Newstalk's political correspondent Sean Defoe. Sean, good morning.
Morning to you, Pat.
OK, so where are we?
Pretty close to the end, it looks like, and we could have a deal as early as today. There was quite a lot of work went on into the night yesterday and over the weekend, and most of the major hurdles have been passed. So there is, as you mentioned there, a growing expectation that tomorrow, when the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meets in Fine Gael, probably to meet as well, they will have a draft version of this programme for government to consider and to vote on themselves. And then over the following days after that, Fine Gael will hold regional meetings to approve it. And Fianna Fáil will have a special audition in Dublin on Sunday. And that would pave the way then for Micheál Martin to become Taoiseach next Wednesday when the Dáil sits on the 22nd.
Do you think at any of these regional meetings on the part of Fine Gael or on Sunday's special audition for Fianna Fáil, that anyone is likely to demur at this point?
Not in enough numbers to stop it going through. So Fine Gael is doing theirs as a sort of electoral college system where the weight of the votes is with the parliamentary party. It's the way that they do it for leadership elections as well. So as long as the parliamentary party is largely on board, I think they have 55% of the vote and so will largely carry it even if some of the membership demurred on it. And Fianna Fáil I wouldn't expect either. If they got it over the line 5 years ago when there was much more contention about doing a deal with Fine Gael, people were less certain and some of the rural members of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were against doing a deal with the Greens. That was, we expected to be a much tighter race than it was to actually approve the programme for government. And in the end, it was fairly comfortable. I think it was more than two thirds have voted in favour of it in every single party. So no, I don't imagine there'd be any mad hiccup when it comes to the party memberships.
Now, the programme for government, I shouldn't have imagined it would have been too difficult to reach agreement on certain things like housing targets and ambitions for health and all the rest of it. Do we know anything about the shape of that programme for government and what's going to be there in terms of ambitions for free childcare and all of those major bread and butter issues for ordinary people?
So in fairness to the negotiating teams, they have kept things very tight on all fronts, including the independents, and they've been quite wary of a leak at any point spooking things and stopping something from going through. Now, there are some things that we can absolutely predict, like you say, that the housing targets will be in the realm of 300,000 houses built over the lifetime of the next government, ramping up to 50 and 60,000 homes built a year over the next few years. Childcare, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil were pretty much in lockstep of bringing in a cap of 200 per child per month on that. And so there's a lot of areas of agreement, and that actually made the Fine Gael Fianna Fáil portion of this negotiation relatively easy because they slapped the two manifestos down on the table, went through it with a highlighter and said, well, look, actually, we agree on an awful lot of this. We've been doing government for the last 5 years. Of course, we would. There's a couple of areas of contention that we still don't have full light on. One of those being the VAT rate for the hospitality sector. Fine Gael wants to bring it down permanently to 11%. Fianna Fáil is pushing back against that because there are only two VAT rates we can have a derogation on. So if we brought down the rate to 11%, we'd have to do away with the 9% rate there that's there for certain things, including at the minute, electricity. So there's a bit of controversy on that. And then the thing that we don't have a good grasp on either, that in some cases is going down to the wire and is among the last things to be negotiated, is the final makeup of government departments. Doesn't seem as though Fine Gael is going to get its Department of Infrastructure. Instead, there's some talk that there would be a new agency that might take over or might be focused on dealing with large infrastructure projects, the like of the National Children's Hospital, taking some of the powers away from the OPW in terms of public bills. And that would be their sort of way around that. The Department of Domestic Affairs that Fianna Fáil has been looking at does look as though it is going to go ahead under the realm of the Minister for Justice.
What is that? What is the Department of Domestic Affairs?
It's basically is similar enough to the Home Office in the UK. So this is a department that would wrap in things like integration, would wrap in some policing functions as well, would draw in from other government departments, would be over, for example, possibly a transport police, which does look as though it's going to be a Fianna Fáil win in this programme for government, that they're going to get that over the line, despite Fine Gael not being that hot on the idea. So it's basically the Fianna Fáil stance from the election that we need to be tougher on crime, and their sort of implicit criticism that they had throughout the election of Helen McEntee, and that being a brief that they're very much fighting to get in this carve-up.
Now, in terms of the jobs being shared out, and that's where there might be some dissatisfaction if too much is given to independents, whether it's the Healy Rays, if they're still in the frame for all of this, or the group of rural independents, what's the thinking at the moment?
So my understanding is there is one super junior ministry on offer, and that it is on offer to the regional independents as opposed to the Healy Rays, although both groups of independents want that particular role. And a super junior minister is a minister who has a bumped up salary, who sits around the cabinet table but doesn't have a vote on the very rare occasion that the cabinet actually votes. So sort of an elevated junior minister. There's three of those positions. One would go to Fine Gael, one to Fianna Fáil, and one to an independent. And they're very, very reluctant to demur from that in giving a second to independents. Also very reluctant to give a full cabinet ministry, that is control of a government department, to any sort of an independent. So I think that could become a sticking point, possibly more so for the Healy Rays than necessarily the regional independents. I mean, the regionals, you could already say they got the Count Corlett job for Verona Murphy, and there's a number of those. You're thinking of Sean Canny, Boxer Moore and Marion Harkin, who would be quite happy with a regular junior ministry. So I think the question for me among the regionals is two questions. One, do all of the regional independents go for it? Do all eight of them, Barry Keenan and Carol Nolan, all decide, yes, we're going to be in here, or are we going to take a step back last minute, as we saw with Michael Fitzmaurice and the Independent Alliance when they were negotiating in the 2016? And then the Healy Rays. And I'm a little bit surprised that the Healy Rays are still in the talks at this stage, to be honest. I thought that they would be similar to what's happened before. They'd go in for a while and then pull out. But they do seem to be more serious this time around. You do have to question, though, if it is just a junior ministry, one junior ministry between the two of them that is on offer. Is that enough? Is that worth it to spur them into government? I'm not sure.
Now, the thinking is that if the Healy Rays sign up, that they will stick with it. They won't, jump overboard at the slightest challenge. And therefore, that gives the government, the two Healy Rays, it added to the two main parties, gives them a little bit of comfort, given that the Ciarán Corlea is no longer, if you like, available as an opposition voice. So they could, stagger through 5 years with the help of the Healy Rays. They've more comfort with a group of independents, but they might not be as reliable, because each individual might have a problem with their own constituents that would force them to jump overboard.
Yeah, you could make that argument, but certainly I'd say if you look at Sean Canny and Boxer Moran, they both stuck through a full term of government, even in difficult circumstances, and even in circumstances where they had a row amongst themselves about the swap over of that junior ministry that, you remember, was decided by a flip of a coin who would go first. Michael Lowry and Noel Grealish have supported governments, albeit from the opposition benches, very reliably over the years, and someone like Marion Harkin you would fairly well trust as well, once she gives her word to go in, that she would stay in. So there is that trust there as well. I think if they're going to bring in the Healy Rays, it would be on top of regional independence, not instead of, that they wouldn't try to just stagger through, as you say.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. Shane Ross was saying at the weekend in his column that Michael Healy Ray is a formidable parliamentary performer, and to bring him inside the tent would effectively silence him as a voice of opposition, which might be something they would like.
Yeah, it would be, but I also had the thought this morning, if Michael Healy Ray was your junior minister, who would want to be the senior minister? Because he certainly wouldn't be a quiet junior minister that would take whatever is coming down from on high. So there's that side of it too. I'd love to know, and I'm really looking forward to whenever he does do an interview after all of this, to get inside Michael Healy Ray's thinking here, because obviously the Healy Rays have done deals for a long time with governments through both Jackie and then, on the odd occasion elsewhere. Why would they want a junior ministry is the question I keep coming back to in my sort of scepticism that they will ultimately end up in. If their priority, as he said to you several times, is Kerry, 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 what does being a junior minister deliver for that just doing a deal for Kerry for your vote wouldn't? That said, I thought the same thing about Verona Murphy, that she is a very constituency-focused person for Wexford, and yet she took a job where you're not meant to be a constituency TD at all, so much so that you get re-elected automatically and being the Count Corda. So perhaps he's decided, as Shane Ross hinted as well, that there is more in him, more to give as a parliamentarian. And I tend to agree with Shane Ross there. He's a very, very clever man who sort of plays the, you know, the country bumpkin from time to time when it suits him politically, but potentially would have a lot to offer as a minister.
Now, is the Green agenda dead?
Yes, unfortunately for the Greens. Now, look, dead to a point, in that if there are regional independents coming in here, there are obviously quite a few of them are very anti the Green agenda, in particular the Healy Rays, but others as well. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, to a lot of the climate measures that came in the last government, were dragged rather than brought along willingly. On other ones, they did go along accepting that they had to do something. But that said, while I don't think there will be a huge amount of new green initiatives in the lifetime of this government, part of the success of the Greens was building in things that will be there in perpetuity. For example, €365 million a year, a million every day, as they often touted, for roads and cycleways. Very hard to unwind that funding once you've given it and say that we're not going to do any more investment in walkways and cycleways and everything else. The carbon budgeting is there. You can question how effective that's going to be long term. I'm not sure, but it is there and it's very hard to unpick. So there is a certain amount of the green agenda that will be absolutely sticking. The carbon tax increases are another one that comes to mind that have been agreed years in advance. But in terms of new green initiatives, I'd be quite sceptical.
Now, talk to me about Sinn Féin. The polls suggest they're very much in the doldrums, and where they go from here. You know, it's hard being in opposition, particularly the main party of opposition, and, you know, getting nowhere really in the last election. Losing market share and having to kind of adopt the same policies and the same, as someone put it, you know, having to make the same budget speech against the Minister for Finance, whoever it might be, for 5 years on the trot, and then facing another 5 years for Piers Doherty. What's going to happen there, do you think?
Yeah, it's a long time in opposition, isn't it? And it was interesting. Mary Lou McDonald gave an interview or gave a press conference yesterday, and she said that it's a question of when, not if, the Sinn Féin will be in government, and that she's still only a young one and could still be Taoiseach and all this kind of stuff. I think Sinn Féin need to have a really hard think about what their strategy is. And I don't get the sense from any of the interviews and any of the press releases I've heard since the election that that work has happened yet. It seems to be very much kicking off on the same narrative. But that narrative, we know now, has a ceiling, and that ceiling is about where they are. It's a pretty good ceiling. They're still the second largest party in the Dáil and will be the lead party of opposition again for 5 years. That's no small thing given where they came from, and they can take a lot out of the fact that some seats that would have been seen as unsafe are now two-term Sinn Féin seats and could well be Sinn Féin seats for a long time to come. That said, they've hit a ceiling. And the question of how they go from being the lead party of opposition to genuinely being a party that could form the next government is quite difficult to answer. And speaking to people, not necessarily in Sinn Féin, but also in some of the centre-left parties, the likes of the Soc Dems and Labour, they're really dispirited after this election, despite having a pretty good one, because they are looking at 5 years of not being able to effect any real change on the opposition benches. And unless there's some sort of collaboration on the left, unless Sinn Féin managed to, you know, change their tack enough to find something that just catches the light of the public again, it's hard to see the combined forces of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil not always being there, thereabouts, at each election to form a government. So I think they have a very tricky time ahead.
Okay, some speculation that Mary Lou would be shunted off to run for the park. Gerry Adams might not be a viable candidate after the Disney Plus the series Say Nothing and the litigation that follows. We'll park that one there for the moment. Jobs for whom? I mean, who gets housing? Who gets finance?
So finance is a pretty easy one. That'll be Fine Gael for the first probably three years of this government, if it's a 3-2 split, as we think it will be for the Taoiseach. So they had always agreed that whichever party holds the Taoiseach's office, the other party holds finance. So Pascal Donoghue will be back as finance minister, and Jack Chambers will move to public expenditure. I don't see Dara O'Brien being moved out of the housing brief. Same with Norma Foley. I can't see her being moved either, particularly after bringing in a running mate in Kerry, unless she gets some sort of promotion. So as the questions come about health, there's a lot of talk that health will switch back to Fine Gael after Stephen Donnelly losing his seat for Fianna Fáil. Justice will then go the other way, and talk of quite a few different options for Justice Minister James Brown, perhaps, who had been the junior minister in that department under Helen McEntee. Jim O'Callaghan's name is always mentioned, though I see it this morning being mentioned and linked to the Attorney General's job as well. A lot of voices linking Jim O'Callaghan to different jobs. And then agriculture is a genuine fighting point between the two parties. Both want to hold it, as does Danny Healy-Rae in the Indo this morning, saying he'd like to be the next agriculture minister. Don't think that's going to happen. So there's quite a few there. I think the last, where the new cabinet positions go, will be interesting, because there is going to be a reforming of those positions, particularly if the integration function of Rodrigo Gorman's old department goes into this new Justice Domestic Affairs under the Justice Minister. That department probably doesn't hold up as a standalone. So I think a lot of what were the green briefs will be remade in some new form and then given to promotees, maybe the likes of Mary Butler, Derek Leary, others who weren't a cabinet minister in the last administration.
Sean Defoe, our political correspondent. Thank you very much, Sean, for that analysis.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.